Thanks for checking out the podcast of the Church at Lake Travis. If you have any questions about our church, visit us online at churchlt.com.
That was so much fun, and we just celebrate all of the things that happened there and that are continuing to happen here as a result of what happened there. Lee mentioned we had 21 people go to Roatan this year, and boy, I just want to celebrate that. Wow, it's all dark back there. Maybe get a little lights in the house, just a little bit so I can see folks, but because right now I'm blind. But I'll pretend I'm looking at you. How about that? But in the lifetime of the trip that we've been taking, we go every winter break, and we hope to go maybe in August or July sometime in the future and winter break so that we give some different options for the trip. But total, we've sent 83 people on mission to Roatan over the last few years. Isn't that awesome? It's so good. So good. That's super cool. I want to dismiss those who are going to Connect One right now. For those of you who are going to Connect One, you can head out. Connect One is for those of you who are interested in learning more about the Church of Lake Travis and kind of a step one in a four-step process. So, and while they're moving, let's go ahead and welcome all our guests together today. Let's give them a big hand. Come on. We like to clap around here, everybody, so that's if you are like, man, these people are clap happy. We are. We're joyful people, so we like to clap. So we're in this series in the book of Luke, and we're studying one chapter at a time. Sometimes we might spend more than 1 week in one chapter, but it's this idea we're gonna whoever's communicating is gonna read that passage of scripture, and what burden do we sense God putting on our hearts for that particular chapter and for the church at Lake Travis here in this community. And here's what we know to be true. In the book of Luke, Luke writes to kind of the outcasts of society, the people who maybe are struggling in life to get by. There are some successful people in the book of Luke as well. Obviously, Luke himself is a doctor, and he's writing an orderly account of all the events of Jesus' life. But what he notices as he's studying the life of Jesus is that Jesus is very, very concerned with people who don't have it all together. Jesus has good news for everyone. Every few years I get this sense like, oh man, we need to come back and we need to look at the Gospels. We need to look at the life of Jesus and just see who he is. Because I think when we get a better appreciation for who Jesus is, it makes us want to be more like him. It makes us want to draw close to him. And so hopefully today we'll get to do that. This passage that we're going to look at today is one that I think that is, it's this burden that I feel that God wants to bring healing to some people here today. And it may not be healing in the sense that you're thinking of, like, it might not be physical healing, like maybe had been present here in this story, but it might be some emotional pain that you've had. If you're anything like me, then your life hasn't been perfect, and there have been bumps and bruises along the way that you might need healing in your life, and you might not have just paused long enough to accept and receive the healing that Jesus wants to bring in your life. We call this around here that you might have a hurt, something that was perpetrated upon you that you couldn't have done anything about. That was just a pain that's in your life. Or maybe it's a habit that you've developed that's unhealthy. Or maybe it's a hang-up, just a negative thing in your life that you just keep getting caught up on. And so as we think about that, we're gonna reflect on this story and see what Jesus wants to say to us. And so would you just bow your heads and let's pray together, and then we'll look at this passage together. Heavenly Father, we approach you humbly today, and we open our hearts and minds to you, and we say, God, speak to us. Speak clearly to us. We don't want to mistakenly be like the person in James who looks at your word as we would look in a mirror and turn away and do nothing about it, change nothing in our lives. So show us places that may need to change, attitudes, thoughts, behaviors. Show us those places. Help us to turn from those things and turn to you. God, we thank you that you, as we sang about earlier, you paid for so much that we've been redeemed. We've been set free. We've been healed because of what you've done on the cross. And so as we look at this passage today, Lord, remind us of those truths. And for our friends here who may not know you yet, I pray that your Holy Spirit would even now begin stirring in their hearts. For we know that unless we're born of the Spirit, we can't come to you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So Luke chapter 6, I'm going to kind of take, if you're looking at it in an English Bible, you'll see a couple of headings that will be breaking up Luke chapter 6. And you'll see one heading called the 12 apostles, and then you'll see another heading called the blessings and woes. But I'm going to just take the first part of that, the 12 disciples and the blessing, the first part of the blessing and the woes, and pull those together and look at those. And we're going to look at how Jesus is our healer. And so beginning in verse 12, I want you to see one of those days. You get the context here. Jesus was out on a mountainside and he went to pray. And he spent the night praying to God. Now, I think that's very funny. And maybe you don't get the humor, but I don't know about you, but I've never just gone to pray and then just said, oh, you know what? I've already started, so I might as well just spend all night praying. Like, that doesn't happen. One of our small group leaders has this genius idea that about 2 weeks before Easter, as we prepare to see God do something special at Easter, Easter's about 8 weeks out, but about 2 weeks before, he has put this whole idea together to do an all-night prayer meeting with the men of our church. I have to be honest and say that's a terrible idea. Come on, you guys agree. But I'm all in. I'm going for it. I'm going to participate in it. But here's the thing. I think he's inspired by Jesus here. I think Jesus spent all night in prayer. And so Mark said, let's go. We've got to do an all-night prayer meeting. I'm like, can we please not do that on Saturday morning instead of Friday night? Like, that would be so much better. But all you men are in, right? Like, you're going to participate. That's the assumptive close. Here we go. Verse 13. Jesus is praying all night to God. Anytime he approaches a big thing, he's praying. He's spending time in before the Father. When morning came, he called his disciples to him. So there's a group of people. He says, come on in, everybody. Listen up. And then he chose the 12 of them. So there's a bigger group, and he condenses it down to a smaller group. He says, I want you, and you. And by the way, the word disciple simply means learner. So these are people that all wanted to learn from Jesus. Hopefully that's you here today. And then the word apostle is another word that's used as one who is sent by God with a particular message. So he's got his group of learners there, but he's calling out some to step up into leadership and to be sent out by God. And here's who it is, Simon, whom he named Peter, and we all know Peter as kind of this big mouth, hot-headed person. His brother Andrew, these are fishermen. James, John, these guys are all jockeying for position later in Jesus' ministry. Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew, a tax collector who was a hated guy in the day. Thomas, we all know now to be known as the doubter, the one who couldn't have faith after Jesus rose again. James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who, by the way, was a traitor. In other words, Jesus is looking at this ragtag group of men and says, I want you all. We'll look at that in just a moment. Then, I love it, he takes this group and he went down and he stood on a level place. We say often around here that the ground is level at the foot of the cross. There's not one that can stand higher than another. There's not one that exalts themselves and says, look at me, I have it all together. No, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. And I think this is just a precursor to the cross where Jesus says, hey, come to me, you disciples, you ones who are going to be leaders in the church. And I want you to stand here on this level place. I want you to see that there's no one that's greater than anyone else in my economy, in my kingdom. And I believe that sets the stage for what happens next, because a large crowd of his disciples were there and a great number of people. So his disciples, all the learners, and then the message had spread about Jesus and the good news that he wanted to bring to everyone. And here it is, a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured. And I love this picture because I just see this crowd of people that are all gathered around, and I see them just clamoring to get to Jesus. If I could just get to Jesus, if I could just get to Jesus, if I could just get to him. And they're fighting through people and they're trying to see Jesus so that, what does it say? So that they could maybe just touch him. And in the moment that they touched him, they saw something happening. The power of God. The power of God was moving from him, through him, and healing how many of them? All of them. This was a powerful picture of Jesus healing people in the midst of their brokenness. Three standout moments that I see from this passage, and the first one is pretty clear, and that is that Jesus chooses his leaders differently than we do. What do we look for in our leaders? We look for the best and the brightest and the people that are savvy and sharp and smart. Jesus doesn't do that. We've heard over the years, Jim Collins back in 2001 wrote the book Good to Great, and he talked about that we need to get the right people on the bus and the wrong people off the bus and the right people in the right seat. What Jesus does here is he takes the wrong people, he brings them on the bus, and he transforms their life, and then they're in the right seat automatically. It's a beautiful pick. Jesus does things differently than we do. His whole perspective on the way he's going to grow his kingdom is different than the way we would do it. We look for the most handsome guy. We look for people who pass the eye test. We say, oh, that person, they've got leadership because they're over 6 foot tall. We look at people and we say, oh, well, they're very beautiful. And so they should be in front of everybody. And Jesus doesn't do that. And in fact, he takes all those people and, like we said, he puts them on level ground. And he says, hey, there's nobody more special than anybody else. The second standout moment for me is that Jesus doesn't wait. He doesn't wait for anyone to be cleaned up before they come to him. He doesn't wait for anyone to be cleaned up. In the book of Luke, all throughout the book of Luke, we're going to see these pictures of clean and unclean. And if you're unhealthy, then the society of the day would put you out in the pasture. They would say, you have to be separate from society. You can't be a part of the in club. And Jesus didn't wait for anyone to get cleaned up to come to him. In fact, he welcomed everyone. And that was good news. That was good news because no one had ever done that before. And Jesus is painting a picture that everyone is welcome. Everyone, clean or unclean, regardless of hurt, habit, or hang up, they can come to him. And then the third standout moment for me is that Jesus has the power to heal not some, but all. Jesus has the power to heal everyone. And I think that's particularly important as we look at this today, because I think we can start to get in our head this American, like, I'm okay, I'm just going to cover up my pain and cover up my hurt and cover up my habits and cover up my hang-ups, and I'm going to pretend that everything's all right. And we never, never come to Jesus and open our heart and say, yeah, I've got issues. I've got struggles. You know, I think about the issues of my life, and I think about growing up in a broken family and knowing that my mom and dad, as much as I'd love for them to have stayed married, they didn't. And how much chaos that was in my life growing up. And then my mom and dad both struggling with addiction over the years, and how that ultimately led to me becoming an alcoholic. And struggling with alcoholism all through my teen years. And then getting free because of what Jesus had done in my life from alcoholism, but wishing that all of my problems would have been gone away, but they didn't. In fact, struggling with other things over the years like anger, or struggling with things as simple as maybe being a control freak, negative attitudes, things like that I would love to be completely healed from. And I believe that we serve a God who can and does heal. One of the beautiful passages in the book of Acts talks about Jesus, and it says that Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were sick and oppressed by the devil. I think about that and I think, how many of us need what Jesus has to offer? And I would just give you three action steps today. And these three action steps might be a little bit elementary. And so I'm just putting the cookies on the bottom shelf for you today. The first one is that Jesus, to believe that Jesus is God. I think that's the very first step, is to understand that when God said in his word in John 3:16 that he sent his only son, that whoever would believe in him wouldn't perish but would have everlasting life, that's a big deal. Like, priority A1, that's a big deal. Believe that Jesus is God. And believe that he can heal. The moment that we have in our intellect that we won't be healed from Jesus, like that he spun the world into motion and he didn't really care about us, he didn't really have a plan, and he's kind of hands off. The moment we start to believe that is the moment we move ourselves away from receiving the healing that he wants to do in our life. But he didn't do that. He condescended to earth. He came to be like you and I. He suffered just like we suffer without sin. And then he died on the cross so that he could pay the penalty for our sin. 1 Peter 2:24 says that by his wounds, by the stripes that Jesus took on his back, we have been healed. But we have to believe that. We have to believe that he can and will heal. The second step that we can take is to openly confess our hurts, our habits, and our hang-ups. Openly confess those things to him. I think about this passage in Luke 6, and verse 18 and 17, it talks about how they came from all over. They came from all over. They came from Jerusalem and Judea, and they came from Tyre and Sidon, and they came. But just think, what if nobody showed up? What if no one came to Jesus? And Jesus just continues to spend his evening out on the mountainside praying. But there's no one that comes. But that doesn't happen. Every one of those people that showed up, they were saying basically to Jesus, here's my issue. Here's my struggle. Here's my pain. This is my confession. I'm confessing whatever that is for me. I'm confessing I need healing from anger. I need healing from bitterness. I need healing from unforgiveness. I need healing from something that was done to me. One of the very popular alternatives to various addictions is called Celebrate Recovery. And Celebrate Recovery is hosted in churches all over the city. We don't have a physical location, so we can't host that, but we would certainly love to someday. Celebrate Recovery is a Christ-centered alternative to addiction recovery ministries, and they define hurt as an emotional reaction to another person's behavior or disturbing situation. And they say some common hurts are abandonment, abortion, abuse, adoption, betrayal, dysfunctional family, neglect, rape, rejection. They define a habit as an unhealthy pattern that often starts as a perceived remedy for some problem in life. We hear about people who have an accident at some point in life and then they get addicted to prescription drugs and that continues. That would be an unhealthy habit. But it ends up turning into a chronic bad behavior or addiction. Some common habits are abusive behavior, alcohol, bitterness, affairs, critical spirit, drugs, eating disorder, gambling, gossip, isolation, lying, pornography, self-mutilation, sex addiction, spending problems, stealing, unforgiveness, wasteful pursuits, even workaholism. And then they talk about hang-ups, and hang-ups are negative attitudes. How many of us know someone with a negative attitude? Used to cope with adversity. Some common hang-ups are anger, anxiety, depression, fear, greed, impatience, laziness, materialism, perfectionism, pride, procrastination, and shame. Now, if God has the power to heal everyone, then wouldn't it make sense that we would bring those things to him to say, God, here's my hurt. Here's my habit. Here's my hang up. We had 20 of our ladies from church that were at Radiant Conference, a women's conference this past week up at Celebration Church in Georgetown. And I was asking someone this morning, like, what was your favorite part? And they said that Christine Kane spoke on Friday night, and she talked about the man that was at the Pool of Bethesda who Jesus came and healed. And then Jesus said to pick up your mat. and they ask the question, like, how many of you just need to pick up your mat? This is essentially the same thing here. How many of us need to simply come to Jesus to confess, I'm hurt. I'm wounded. I need your healing. I have a addiction. I need to invite you into. I admit that I'm powerless. I've lost control over this particular thing in my life. I need your healing. I can't control other people. I can't control what's happened in my past. I need your healing. Now, here's what happens. When we openly confess those things to God, God loves our heart to be open to Him. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin, to cleanse us of all unrighteousness, to forgive us, to heal us from the inside out. We don't clean up to come to Jesus expecting that we have it all together. No, we come just as we are. And Jesus meets us right where we are, and He offers healing to us. If we know Jesus is God and can heal us, and we openly confess those things, I believe that's when the healing process begins. So, here's what I want to ask you to do today. The band's going to come and they're going to sing that song, God is So Good. And as they sing that, what's going to happen, I think, over us is there's going to be this sense of God's healing that's going to take place. And before they do that, before they come, I want you just in a posture of humility to simply bow your head and close your eyes. And right in front of you, if you feel comfortable doing so, you can open your hands, palms facing upward, right there in your lap. And as you get in that posture of humility, what you're saying is that regardless of the hurt or the habit or the hang-up that I have in my life right now, I'm offering that up to you, Jesus. And I want to receive your healing power in my life. Heavenly Father, for those who are here today who have been impacted by painful experiences, people that have hurt them, God, I want to speak this truth over them today that you are a chosen child of God. And it was not your fault. It was not your fault. And God wants to heal you of that pain. Be free in Jesus' name. Be free. For those who have habits that have developed over time, and those who have experienced pain in your life because of those habits, right there where you are, offer those to God and simply say, God, take this from me. Remove this addiction. I cannot control it anymore. I cannot overcome it on my own. I need your power to move in me. Be free. be healed in the name of Jesus. And then for those who have hang-ups, just negative attitudes, critical spirit, would you surrender those to Jesus right now and just say, Jesus, heal me. Heal those broken places in my life that I could walk in love and in joy. That I could be the person that you want me to be.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. Our mission is to lead people into a life-giving relationship with Jesus Christ, and our prayer is that you are closer to Jesus as a result of listening today.